Blog Talk Radio.
Sitting here in the Richardson Park studio, the well freshly painted, even though it still smells like paint and sense of, I think it's gasoline. I'm not sure what that's all about. Anyway, notwithstanding that, welcome in 1 hour of you and me battling, stopping the violence. And again, we've been talking about men stopping violence and the fact that these problems, these domestic issues, are largely a man issue. Now, we know about the sociology. We know about the conditioning. We certainly have talked a lot about the various factors and what you can do if you're aware of these things. And obviously, we want to reiterate all those points again. And I want to remind you that in this series now that we've done for roughly 2 weeks, as we start to wind this down and look toward expanding the opportunities to and the reach with such a sensitive topic, I need your support and we need your help. So your feedback is critical. You can give us a call at 619-639-4747, 619-639-4747. Before we get into all the tools and all the subject matter and all the ideas and concepts tonight, I just want to let everyone know, from the bottom of my heart, a heartfelt thank you for the love you've given to not only all the shows, the fastest 60 Minutes in Sports, which airs on the weekends, A Time to Heal, which we've done literally every day when we're not talking about sports. We're talking about socioeconomic issues. We're talking about societal issues. We're talking about domestic violence. More topics have been submitted from all of you, literally, to expand the show and what it can be. Maybe that spawns a third show. Who knows? But tonight we talk specifically about domestic violence, as we have literally for the last 2 weeks, and we wind it down on a gorgeous Friday night in the south portion of the Chicago market, where it is snowing out here. Hopefully it's better weather wherever you're at in this world. I know we've spoken to people all the way to from Hawaii all the way to Maine. So just so you know, I love you, and as always, there's nothing you can do about it. And you can be part of the conversation at 619-639-4747. You all really must have enjoyed, or at least maybe felt compelled to share, last night's episode with your friends. And the piece we did on victims of DV, victims of domestic violence, must have touched some hearts, because you requested that again. So we're not even going to waste time, make you wait 30 minutes. We're going to hit it right now and run down all of our wonderful spoken word and sound bites that you can feel free to use, feel free to record, feel free to do whatever you need to share and spread the message as we all aspire to stop domestic violence.
The victims of domestic violence can be anyone, regardless of past family history, income level, or education. The victims of domestic violence are people who thought it could never happen to them, but in fact, it has. She is your sister, your mother, your best friend, your cousin, your coworker. These are our stories.
My friends tell me to just leave. I know they care, but I don't feel like I can confide in them anymore.
People are always shocked to hear I escaped an abusive, violent marriage, that I had to run for my life after living in a hell of despair and fear for several years. No one can imagine a smart, successful, independent woman like myself in that situation. But there I was, trapped in my financial vulnerability and commitment to my son's well-being.
I know it takes two to make a marriage, and we were so happy, and my family loved him. Would they even believe me?
Even if you think you're too smart or too tough to ever get involved with an abusive guy, chances are you'll never see it coming.
There was no doubt in my mind about how hard it would be to survive. He was clear about hurting anyone else in my life who tried to help. He was very clear about my dad. He would remind me that my dad had a bad heart and he would not be able to live through the turmoil.
He was charming, kind, and well-educated. We were married for 7 years before it started.
I couldn't do it anymore. I would rather be dead. That simple. I would rather be dead. Dead was better.
It was safer for my children if I stayed. I knew that if I divorced him, he would be alone with the children for extended periods and I would not be able to protect them.
So something tragic has to happen to my daughter before the courts will intervene? Okay, I thought, so I'll be the supervisor, so I stayed, because the thoughts of the revenge he would take towards our daughter were unbearable.
My child was murdered by my abuser.
My child is now torturing animals, since he has been spending every other week alone with my ex-husband.
My daughter killed herself after the court forced her to go live with her father. Domestic violence is about control, power, and fear. It is about the women in this book, and it is likely to be about someone you know or will know. Buy this book today and read these true stories and learn the real reasons women stay in abusive relationships. A percentage of the proceeds will go to benefit victims and survivors of domestic violence.
The screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late, if they come at all. Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. always come late if they come at all. And when they arrive, they say they can't interfere with domestic affairs between a man and his wife. And as they walk out the door, the tears well up in her eyes. Last night I heard the screaming, then a silence that chilled my soul. Prayed that I was dreaming when I saw the ambulance in the road. And the policeman said, I'm here to keep the peace. Will the crowd disperse? I think we all could use some sleep. Last night I heard the screaming, loud voices behind the wall. Another sleepless night for me, it won't do no good to call the police. Always come late if they come at all.
That is Tracy Chapman's Behind the Wall, a harrowing song, obviously about involvement, getting involved, understanding, ladies and gentlemen, that, and again, the targeting, obviously, our brothers. When we're silent to these things, we are affirming its activity as okay, and that can never be the case. So as I stand on my soapbox tonight at 7-Eleven, that has to be part of the mission, along with the desire to heal, educate, and empower. I, Vincent Moore, or to a lot of you, Vinnie Moore, am committed to providing up-to-date information, resources, stats pertaining to the sexual assault, domestic violence, and child abuse in this forum. It is a priority to continuously educate not only myself, but anyone around me, to share knowledge with all of my friends, supporters, clients, partners, and the community at large. And my community, being the World Wide Web, is indeed Earth. It is my strong belief that survivors need and deserve access to expert resources in their local communities. I, along with Joyful Heart and Men Stopping Violence and other organizations, great organizations throughout this nation, aspire to make those resources available to everyone in need. For the last 2 weeks, you've heard me talk about 1-800-799-SAFE, 1-800-799-7233, the National Domestic Hotline 800 number. When you hear numbers like 1 in 3, one out of every three women in this world will be a victim of assault of some sort by an intimate partner, boyfriend or husband in their lifetime. 1 in 3. Now, for the two that are very, very blessed and fortunate to have a great situation and have never been a part of that, God bless you. But based purely on those numbers, 30%, 33 and a third, more accurately, are affected directly by these heinous acts. It is absolutely critical that all of us understand and know and are indeed aware, keenly aware of our surroundings, our community at large. This type of activity, putting your hands on a woman, controlling her in any way, shape, or form, is just wrong. It's just wrong. And what are we teaching our young men? Are we teaching them that the only way to be great young men is to be hard? And I'll be the first one to tell you, I love my sports. I love football. I love athletics, and athletics teaches you a lot of great values. But somewhere along the line, the coaches were teaching us that, much like a lot of our old school dads did, boys don't cry. Boys don't get emotional. We don't feel, not like our girls feel. I just shared with you all the story of myself and my friend Stephanie. When we were growing up, we both got in trouble at the same time, and we both were standing in front of her grandmother and both my parents. Stephanie was bawling because she knew the catastrophic whooping was coming, and I'm standing there and I got a little tear in my eye, and they looked at Stephanie and this cute little girl just boo-hooing, and they took her in, they put hugs on her, and told her, oh, baby, don't cry, it's going to be okay. My father looked at me with my little tear in my eye, because I'm thinking, well, I just do the same thing she did. No. He looked at me and told me to clean my face up. Then when he thought, obviously I wasn't doing it in a quick enough turnaround for him, told me to go in the bathroom and fix my face. Come back to me and speak to him like a young man should. Now, I love my dad. I love him to death. God rest his soul. He was a great man. He taught me a lot about life, about love, about family, about values. And at no point in the life, in my little season with my dad, I got to know him for 22 years of my life. He lived to be 64 before he made his transition. But in that season, that was his life, he never once raised his hand to my mom. To my recollection, he never ever called her out of her name. To my recollection. Now, they had conversations late at night, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, as I told you all before. Sometimes you could hear those conversations through the walls. And they were always the fun, heated conversation amongst adults who solving adult problems. But it was a significant issue with both of my parents to make sure that when they stepped out of that room, they stepped out as a galvanized team. They were on the same page. And when it came to, they say, sticking it to the kids and making sure there was a consistent effort of not only supporting our efforts, but making sure we had structure and discipline in our life, it was real evident. And I thank them for that. But it's a different time now, 2012. Kids are different. Bernie Mac used to blame, as he calls them, the punk-ass parents. And yeah, I'm on the World Wide Web. I can actually say punk-ass and get away with it. So I wonder, is that really the case? Because I don't necessarily believe that the ability to discipline and structure kids has changed as much as it is we're just afraid and we've allowed maybe society to tell us and start dictating us how we ought to, you know, I don't know, let our kids, you know, have more freedoms and think more freely and make decisions at younger ages. Have we stopped disciplining our young boys? And let's target this to our target audience here, the men, and how we relate to our boys. What do we teach them? Are we teaching them that to greet someone in love and peace is the avenue that we need to actually, you know, source? Or are we sharing with them that we still, the old traditions of, you know, in order to keep your woman in line, you got to control her. You got to think for her. Don't let her think for herself. Do you teach them to look at girls as property as opposed to just another human being? What are we teaching them? And what advice, and for the ladies tonight, for those of you checking this out at 619-639-4747, what advice do you give the brothers? You know, we've heard from guys, you know, and brothers, you've dominated a lot of this either through the chat rooms or through Facebook, through Twitter. Tonight, as we kind of wind this thing down, let's get some advice from our sisters. You know, if there's any sister out there that is willing to share some insight as to what you believe men can do, let's listen to our sisters tonight. 619-639-4747. Now, that's not to indict any brother that wants to call and be part of the show, but I really, really think that it's important tonight, as we wind this series down, that we listen to the sisters. 619-639-4747. I put this out to all the sisters near a PC, near a smartphone, however you're checking this out tonight. Give us a call. 619-639-4747. Let me say it slower. 619-639-4747. I want your feedback. I want to hear from you. I want you to tell me what you want from these brothers. What we need to hear. I mean, it's all this we hear about the male-dominated society, you know, the life of privilege because we're men, we're stronger, we're superior. You know, women are weaker, inferior, which, you know, we know that's not true. We know it's not true. Brothers need to learn how to listen. We need to learn how to listen. And again, if you know someone in the situation, in a domestic violence, you know, situation of any kind, you know, let them know that they're not out there alone, that there's help. They can get help. They can get the help that they need. But tonight, again, I want to hear from my ladies. 619-639-4747. I don't want you to be shy. I don't want you to be scared. By request, again, it seems like 5 out of the 7 times we've done this, here's Ball and Chain.
I look in the mirror. I don't recognize this reflection. Thinking back, I got lost in this projection. Slowly reminiscing about the trials and tribulations. Jesus saved me. Covered by his blood, I'm now safe. An innocent being turned into a craze. The flesh abused through an obsessed rage. And so I told her, love isn't a mile run. So if there's a run, it's because he's running from you. Love shouldn't be dangerous, hence love didn't exist. You see, you created this illusion. Regardless if the abusing was intense, you gave him the love that made sense to you. drawn with the ink of eyeliner, cover-ups, illuminating lips. The sway of the hips is what kept him on focus. Nobody noticed the smile made up, the hesitation to wake up. Those nights where the bottle wouldn't leave your hand, you did nothing but hold it higher. For you to drown in the sense of something so disgusting. Didn't care if your lust was just because you were drunken. Didn't care that that cough you had could have been something else. That those Newports would prove that one day, sooner than later, you would die. Didn't care when those shadows laid hands and penetrated you while half past dead. Didn't move a muscle when you cried and wished to die with a knife in your hand so high. Don't want to be here anymore. For 4 years, like a ball and chain tied to a beast. I watched you every single day, wake up and want to sleep again. Rather live in the islands than wonderland than to breathe the same air as him. The swelling on your face spoke a thousand words. Why'd he hit you and you still wanted to be his girl? Instilling fear that it was her, like a serenade of a singer. Cause manipulation was at its greatest. You see, I'm staring at this reflection, not recognizing this projection. I was susceptible to either side, but the balance was losing grip, slowly slandering down into the depths of the devil's pit. That alcohol was my hydration, that reefer was my motivation. See, when I was in control, I seemed to always stumble. So I gave myself a reason. Get drunk, get the fool out, and blame all the mistakes on you. Kept you from your friends and from your passions. Was like a ball and chain tied behind bars you were held captive. See, in my mind, in order to survive was to make sure that I died. Each sip was a step closer. Each sip made me feel nothing. Numb to the hits that were placed on my face. The tug of war with my hair didn't hurt as much. This body wasn't being cherished. It was getting prepared to be buried because then I felt it was worth nothing. Seated in the bathroom, hiding from the rage, praying for somebody to save me, holding a knife beside me, lifting up my sleeve, my Bible telling me to cut me. Carved not deep enough was the word love. I wanted to see it because it wasn't around me at all. Fear not, for I am with you. Something inside me told me to no longer be afraid. I knew I could die from my next move, but in my eyes there was nothing more I could lose. Even though I was at my weakest, I felt stronger than ever. I was giving myself away, powered by my Lord, conquering the devil. And so I said, I'm done. It's over. I need to go. Confrontation was in heat, but his grin was cheek to cheek. Smiles and it's okay was on repeat. It took a split second for blood to drip, landing in the arms of a woman whose strength took control. See, in that moment, my mother was empowered by God's strength. This little lady wasn't afraid of this beast who made her daughter bleed. She looked dead in his eyes and now it felt defeat. So as I'm staring at this reflection, thanking God for this blessing, because even though my teeth needed work and my nose and jaw will never feel the same, I'm thankful for that day. The ball and chain was broken.
Spoken word sessions as far as the time to heal. You guys asked for that actually more than anything else, and I certainly hope that you're taking advantage of that information and using it and sharing it with your friends, realizing that maybe, just maybe, it reaches and touches someone who's in that situation being a domestic issue that they cannot or for whatever reason do not have an answer or a resolution for. It is absolutely critical that we strive day in and day out, and reach the masses. This is a dark situation in far too many places, far too many homes. I actually had a guy hit me up on Facebook and tell me that if I continued to talk about domestic violence, he was going to unfriend me. And I thought to myself, maybe that's a friend I just don't need. I don't know how you turn your back on these situations in society, and I realize you can't fix them all, you know. And I'm thankful to the brothers from Men Stopping Violence who you know, made it a point as they were working with us here in the Chicago market to understand you're not going to heal the world despite our best efforts to reach everyone and anyone and open up doors and shed light on these dark, dreary times and these unfortunate hidden issues in our society. You're not going to fix it all despite your best efforts. But as I said to you way back when we started this, if we can get one brother, just one, to take a look, to rethink before he raises a hand, to take a deep breath and walk away as the oldest did out in Hawaii. Walk away. Where is it said, where is it written today that you have to retaliate, you have to be combative just because maybe she said something, maybe she, you know, pushed your buttons? Brothers, we need to maintain a better level of control, self-discipline. In that, we take full responsibility for our actions. It is a lot easier to deal with that call, that 911 call that someone may make, because mommy and daddy have gotten loud. When the police get there to see that nobody's hurt and there's nothing but maybe dialogue going on. Now, so many states, now I understand, including some, there's some local ordinances, even here in Illinois, have zero tolerance policies, which means if you dial 911, somebody's going to jail. Somebody's going through some change tonight. And I talked to a really good new friend today out in the western suburbs in the Chicago area today. And she was sharing a lot of good information to me about what they deal with out there in the western burbs. And she told me that the greatest challenge that they had wasn't actually, you know, domestic calls and going there and dealing with them. No, the biggest challenge they had were some of the hardline rules dealing even with DCFS, dealing with the children. Let me set this up for you so you kind of get a better idea. So a domestic issue jumped off between a husband and wife, and there are kids involved. Now, the kids may be upstairs playing, and maybe they're completely oblivious to what specifically is going on, but someone's called 911. The police show up. They go through the changes of separating, sorting out the specifics of what happened. Maybe the man needs to leave, or maybe he's going for a ride in the back of a squad car. Maybe she started, maybe she needs to get some time away. There's certainly a cooling up here that needs to happen. But then what happens next is kind of really, really amazing, kind of hard line. DCFS shows up. DCFS shows up, makes a determination of whatever that situation is. Now, if mama looks like she's been hurt, and hear me clearly now, if mama has been in a fight and she's got a black eye or a bruise or some harm has been done to her, the perspective immediately is, and rightfully so, the safety of the kids is at a premium. It is the priority, and that is the way it should be. But because mom did not go to the next step in dealing with the police and press charges against dad for whatever motivations, maybe she was worried about the kid's relationship with dad being damaged, maybe she was really worried about finances in the household, whatever her motivation, she decided not to press charges. Instead, she decided to stay there and work it out. Her choice. DCFS then takes the liberty of telling her, either you follow through on removing this problem from your household, or we're going to come get your kids. I said, whoa. Just like that? Just like that. Either you stop pandering to this situation and being of the victim and do something about it, get the order of protection, lock his tail up, whatever it may be, do something about it, or we're going to come get your kids. And that was it. That was the hard line. No circumstantial, you know, what-ifs, and no hard line. And it struck me as odd, and to hear people who are on the good side of this fight saying, that's hard. That is so hard. Now she has to be the bad guy in whatever the outcome of that situation. She has to take this hardline approach in order to keep her children. Tough, tough sledding. Very tough sledding. 619-639-4747. I'm still looking for my ladies to chime in. Let's talk about some of our brothers and what we can do to better not only support but certainly rebuild the broken hearts and broken esteems of so many of our sisters. I'm trying to go commercial free tonight. Obviously, we've been able to do so the last couple of nights. You haven't paid any bills for the show, none of that fun stuff. So we're trying to do the same thing again. Halfway through, we're at the midway point. This one, this is the last one in this series for a while. As many of you know, the studio is shifting locations. We are on our way to the Great Northwest, Calgary, Canada. Here we come. And, again, that's just for the studio, guys. It's still going to be right there on the World Wide Web for everyone, as it always is. Hopefully the sound will be much richer and much bolder. I know we're going to be in Calgary, and all I keep hearing about Calgary is it's so clean and the people are so kind, and I've never left the soil of the United States except for one vacation. So I'm a little bit excited, also a little bit nervous. So say a prayer for a brother. In the meantime, as is a rule within the confines of this topic, we certainly have to give give some definition to our domestic violence and all this, I guess, for some of you ranting going on. And for those of you who are tired of hearing me stand on my soapbox and talk about it, well, you're going to have to continue to hear me, or otherwise you're going to find something else to occupy your night with. So domestic violence, defined as a pattern of behavior in any relationship that is used to gain or maintain power and control over an intimate partner. Let me say this slower. Domestic violence can be defined as a pattern of behavior in any relationship that is used to gain or maintain power and control over an intimate partner. Abuse is physical, sexual, emotional, economic, or psychological. Actions or threats of actions that influence another person. This includes any behaviors that frighten, intimidate, terrorize, manipulate, hurt, humiliate, blame, injure, or wound someone. Domestic violence can happen to anyone of any race, age, sexual orientation, religion, or gender. It happened to couples who are married, living together, or those who are even just dating. Domestic violence affects people of all socioeconomic backgrounds and educational levels. The majority of domestic violence victims are women. One in three women report being physically or sexually abused by a husband or boyfriend at some point during their lives. Now, I often make the mistake of, you know, getting so caught up in talking about the men and women and their relationships that we tend to forget about same-sex partners and those living alternative lifestyles. Well, you're not exempt from domestic violence. You're not. It can happen in the broader spectrum. And for those of you think there's some comic efforts in there, let me squash that right now. There aren't. Domestic violence is real, and it's sad. And I want to share with you before we shut it down tonight what you can do. What you can do if you know someone that's caught in that situation. We've shared it just about every night in some way, shape, or form, and that's not going to change tonight. You need to know. And if you know someone that's in that situation, caught in a situation where you're not quite sure, you know, what you can do, I'm going to give you some resources and some tips on what you can do to help your friend, to support your friend. All right. You know, I almost pulled the trigger, Mike. I almost did. I almost pulled the trigger on some down-home blues and having some fun. You know, sometimes when you get into such sensitive topics such as these, we tend to forget what it is to have fun and to make light of so many things. It's really hard to make light of anything along this line because it touches so many people in such a heinous way. So I have to look at myself and see if I can find some comic relief where I'm concerned. I look in the mirror sometimes and I think to myself, you know, have I ever stepped across the boundaries with my wife? Well, thankfully, I've never called her out her name. I've never raised a hand to her. But I'm not perfect. I'm not. I've done some stupid things in my day. I probably said some stupid things. I told everyone at the beginning of the year my goal for 2012 was to learn how to fall back in love with my wife. I'm still working at that, y'all. I really am. I'm still working at it. We've come a long way. We really have. But I think we still have some miles to go. So I'm a little anxious from time to time about getting a lot of those things done, you know, and just seeing her eyes light up. And it's funny because I think the one thing I've learned more than anything else is it is really the little things. So to my brothers out there looking for things, but I mean, I know a lot of you guys, it's only mid, late February. Y'all got some anniversaries. You got birthdays coming up. Brothers, we can get some things done. Call me. We'll talk about it. Call me. All right. There's some things you can do. To my friends out there, matter of fact, let me name. I'll just give you first names. To my friend, my friends in Dalton. I put it like that. To my friends in Dalton, those of you who have recently turned 40 years old, I just want you to know that. Yeah, he probably could have done better on your birthday. Yeah, he probably could have, but I would hope and pray that that's going to get better. you know, as a friend of the families of all those of you 40-somethings out there, it's going to get better. To my brothers out there, let's come together and let's work together. We can do this. We can find ways to not forget our birthdays, not forget our anniversaries, not forget significant days, you know, not forget something, the simple things. Forget that she asked you to take some meat out for dinner so it could thaw. It's a simple thing. No, guys, we're not going to be perfect, but we need to do better than what we've done. And we can. We really, really can. We can blame society if we want to, but I want you to get down to the granular level and look at yourself in the mirror and realize that it can start with you. Because, brothers, we are the work. We are the work. We are the ones who have to get this done. We are the ones who have to stop putting our hands on a woman. We are the ones who have to improve the way we approach our ladies. We are the ones who have to stop calling them out their name and stop glamorizing when someone else does. Let's change some of the conversations that we're having in some of our barbershops. I know we talk about the game. We talk about the players. We talk about the D. Roses of the world, the LeBrons of the world. We do all those things. That's fine. But the first time you hear a brother come in here and refer to a woman as something other than her name, someone needs to say, hey, hold on, dog. Hold on. We can talk about sisters till we blue in the face because we know y'all talk about us. But can we do it by giving them their name? Yeah. Talk about sister girl. You know, I mean, you ain't got to call out a name. She ain't got to be all that. She ain't got to be the itches and witches of the world. No. You don't have to do that. But where are my brothers that can stand up and say, you know, I'm not going to refer to my sister-in-law, my mother-in-law in that way. I know your mother-in-law may not be the nicest person in the world, but she's still your mother-in-law. That's somebody's mama. And you got one, too. And how would you appreciate that? Come on, fellas. Let's just be real for a minute. Can we be real for a minute? Let's be fair. And for a lot of you out there, the greater call is to trying to be transparent. And I'm going to tell you, as a brother who tries to live transparent, man, is that hard. It is very, very hard. You never want to get caught out of your pocket. You never want to get caught in the wrong spot. You certainly don't want to get caught out of line. So you're checking everything you do, checking every step you do. No, brother, it's not easy. It is really, really hard to live a life of transparency. Just ask your local politician because they certainly can't do it. Now, to a greater issue. Brothers, what are we going to do about these young men? These young men that are so important to the future of this world, to the future of the family, the future of the nation, we have to do something. We have to be the role model and example again. I am sick and tired of my athletes telling me they're not role models. Yeah, you are. I'm sick and tired of any man telling me that, you know, what I do is my business. Well, it's also that kid who's following you's business because he's watching you. I know that may not feel good, brothers, and I know you can get a little puffed up and get a little prideful if you want to, but I don't have a problem telling you on this show, on anyone else's show, if you want me to go to Steve, I'll tell Steve Harvey. You want me to go to Doug Banks, I'll go tell Doug. Want me to call Michael Bazin and tell him, I'll tell Mike Bazin. It doesn't matter. We are the work, fellas. We have to rally this thing. We have to get this thing figured out. And to my sisters, I'm still waiting to hear from you, baby. 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747. I'm looking for my sisters tonight to chime in and have a conversation about our brothers and what we need to be sharing with our young boys. We need to hear from our sisters. Too many of you are silent on way too many important issues. And those that are making noise, and brothers, and again, I'm not going to indict you guys, I'm not. But when a sister stands up with a little bit of courage and shares some information, do yourself a favor and listen to her. Listen. You would be surprised what you might actually learn if you simply listen. See, this is where I need Beyonce's song, Listen. Right here, right now. I need that song right now. But that's all right. Moving on. 2020 left in the ride. This is Kindred Spirits.
Okay, so in May of 2010, I went on a cruise to Cozumel, Mexico with a friend of mine and some of her friends to renew her wedding vows. There were five of us that kind of hung out together. And over the course of talking to each other on the boat, over 4 or 5 days, I found out that out of the five of us, four of us had been victims of sexual abuse in our childhood. And, you know, statistics tell you it's one out of every four. I think it's way more than that. And so I ended up writing this piece called Kindred Spirits about how many of us there are. And just just what that is, what that's like. So, just as kindred spirits. Kindred spirits would be a nice way to put it. Survivor would be a proud title to attach. But the honest admission of abuse victims is more accurate, and I've met more of these sisters than I care to admit these days. Beautiful but self-conscious, confident while full of doubt, wanting to be found attractive while managing this thing of balance misdirection, because we always associate the two with impending destruction, and people wonder why we're crazy, slightly off balance. What do we expect after having to live our lives? When childhood bedrooms become war zones instead of safe havens in which to launch our dreams. When mothers can't be our confidants because we wish for no one else to witness our shame, so we suffer. Some of us quietly. Others in the shouts and screams of our aggression and independence. It's no wonder we leave you confused. See, we don't come with identifying markers. There's no way to tell one from the other. They don't hang signs around our necks for easy identification, but God, sometimes I wish they did, because I think the sheer number would astound you, maybe even confound you, because we outnumber the innocents by a mile. We are the majority, wishing to be the minority so that we can enjoy their privileges of having bad touch, only be the letters written on a teddy bear diagram in first grade, and mirrors not becoming reflections of battered little girls who went to damaged grown women. We have been made. Why can't these be our experience? Why were we selected to be a part of this multitude who survived while permanently disabled by our abuse? I'm sick of asking these questions and all the others like them, because there is no answer other than this. This is your life. One of adversity and strife. Well, I would have wished for you something different, a little less emotionally significant. I pray that it's made you stronger, tougher to break. At least then I know in the end you'll find your way through the twists and turns of heartbreak, the loneliness that comes from a lack of understanding, and the feeling of abandonment when those you thought would be there leave. While it may be tough and someday seemingly impossible to achieve, keep pushing, diva. Hold your head high and plant your feet. And the next time adversity comes, remember your fairy tale, the stuff of grown woman dreams, and eventually, you'll find peace.
Dear Aubrea, as a child, I watched and learned, but never had I imagined you were watching and learning too. Just like me, you learned that love came with a price. Like a waterfall, it came crashing down on us, soaking our generations, drowning us and submerging us beneath the surface of reality. You were beautiful, intelligent, talented, and confident. You had dreams and aspirations and pursued them with strong ambition, always reaching for the stars. But you seemed to give up on your dreams. I saw the confidence slowly abandoning you. I recognized the sign because of how your stepdad made me suffer for so many years. I heard the fear in your voice as you explained how the man you loved followed you around, watching your every move, and how he made you feel unsafe and afraid. I miss seeing you on the holidays, at our cookouts, and at the dinner table on Sundays. I missed your voice when I didn't hear from you for weeks. This was totally out of your character. I became more and more concerned. I called your closest friend, but they too had not seen you in a while. My social butterfly was no more. When you called me tearful in the middle of the night, distressed and distraught, I felt your pain. I was tearful too, because I loved you and wished you only happiness. I did everything I could to let you know it didn't have to be this way. Like I said, I recognized the signs. Then you called one day and sounded so excited, and I was excited too, about the plans to start a new life without him. And I was proud as you spoke with a renewed confidence. When we said our I love yous and our goodbyes, I didn't realize it would be the last time I would hear your voice. I'll never forget that cold December day in the hospital when the doctors told me that there was no hope. My greatest fear had come true. My heart was breaking as I watched your young life slip away from me. You were only 21 years old. With a single gunshot, the man you once loved and trusted, and who had taken everything, your confidence, your family, and your friends had finally taken your life. It's been nearly 6 years, and I still can't believe you're gone. I miss my beautiful songbird, the smile and the voice that would greet me each day. I long to embrace you, if only for just a moment. But your voice still speaks to me and through me. With love and kisses, Mommy.
From the 323 area, go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Hi.
You there? And just like that, they're not there. All right, well, 323, if you feel the desire to call back, certainly you can. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. All right, let's move on. I looked at some statistics today, and as always is the case when you look at stats, they just kind of scare you. They scare you off the ledge a lot of times. When you hear on average more than 3 women are murdered by their husbands or boyfriends in this country every day. On average, more than 3 women are murdered by their husbands or boyfriends in this country every day. Now, for every married woman out there now looking at their husband like, don't even think about it, this is coming from the Kansas Coalition Against Sexual and Domestic Violence. It's scary. As many as 324,000 women each year experience intimate partner violence during their pregnancy. 324,000 sisters each year. Around the world, at least 1 in 3 women has been beaten, coerced into sex, or otherwise abused during her lifetime. And, you know, we've been harping on that all week long. 323 is back. Hi.
Hi.
Who?
Can you hear me?
Give me your name.
My name is Faye.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
For those of you who don't know, this is my other one, y'all. This Faye. This is from the West Coast. It's West Coast Faye. We're going to call her West Coast Faye tonight. How are things
going?
Everything's
going good. I just had to call in and compliment you on the show. I think it's a really great thing that you're, you know, trying to spread the word and get it out there on a, you know, full scale to really touch everybody and let people really know what's going on in the societies behind closed doors.
Well, I know it's really something that prior to a couple of weeks ago, I mean, we knew it existed. I just didn't know the depth or the magnitude of it. And for whatever the reason, maybe this is why heaven operates with me in this way. People come into your lives for a variety of different reasons, maybe their own intentions, maybe at the forefront of their thought processes. But when you get down to the granular level and start to see what people bring to the table and things start to kind of open themselves up, you start to realize they bring a tremendous amount of value to the table and to so many different causes. I know that, you know, domestic violence has touched your life in many different ways. I'm hoping maybe if you feel up to it, you'd maybe share some of that experience with us.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, and at your own, at a level of comfort, obviously. I mean, you know, I don't want you to be uncomfortable.
No. I think everything that I've been through in my life has made me the person who I am. It's just a matter of learning from the situations that you go through. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, just someone talking to you a certain way is going through abuse. And it's been, you know, many times where I've been in relationships where it was just like I've been called out of my name. I've been just disrespected and just treated just unjustly just because the man thought that that's the way he was supposed to talk to you. And for me as a woman, I just naturally accepted that, thinking, you know, that's just how he is. That's just how he talks to people. And not really understanding that, no, this isn't right. He shouldn't talk to me like that. He shouldn't tell me that I'm ugly or I'm a piece of crap or I don't deserve this or I couldn't do better than him because I could. And it really took my friends really peering in on my relationship and constantly commenting and constantly telling me, hey, you need to get your self-esteem right for me to really realize I don't have to take this. Even though he wasn't hitting me physically in this actual relationship, it was the mental aspects. He was getting me mentally by what he was, by abusing me verbally. And a lot of women just don't realize that, you know, your self-esteem has to be strong for you to realize that there's just certain stuff you don't have to take.
Right. Well, it's amazing, and we've talked, obviously, at length on various occasions, and you've been through a tremendous amount, and it is a blessing to see, you know, how God has smiled on your life and how you've come through that, and so many young ladies need the testimonies of survival so they know that regardless of where they're at in this world and what they're going through, that there certainly is hope and there is support out there. What could you tell our brothers out here right now that, you know, are trying to maybe do better? Give them some insight, because as I've been on the sounding board now for a while, we need to hear from our ladies so we know how to better comport ourselves as men. You know, and you know, God bless Jacques. I know he's a great young man, and if he's listening, you know, you're about to talk about him. I understand, but I want you to maybe tell some of these brothers, you know, what it is that we need to know to be better young men, better role models in this world.
For women, it's all about listening. You have to be able to listen. You have to be able to communicate. When men have an issue, for a lot of men, they tend to just shut out. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's something that's not going right, if it's something that they don't like, they shut out. Some men turn that to anger. Some men just completely shut down. And with women, we need you to be open. We need you to communicate. If you're in a situation where you are the abuser, or you're trying to stop, or you're trying to better yourself, keep reaching out to people. Keep talking to people, because that's all it is. It's a matter of communication. You have to heal what's going on internally and figure out where you're getting it from. Where does it stem from? Because the majority of the time, it's just a cycle of events that's happened to you in your life that you're bridging from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. So if you can figure out where that anger and hurt is coming from, you can stop it from the very beginning and just grow on it. Keep reaching out to people that you know is going to be able to help you. And I know a lot of our black men, they don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to go to a psychiatrist. You don't want to let people know your personal life or your business. But when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter who you're bridging out to, as long as you're getting the help that you need, because everybody needs help. So you have to cut down that wall and be able to reach out to somebody to get the help that you need, because we all need somebody.
There you go, fellas. I don't think it gets much clearer than that. Faith, thank you so much for being an integral part of this episode. Now, you know, I'm not going to just let you off the hook all nice and easy, like, just because that would just be not of my character. So for what it's worth, it's absolutely important that our brothers hear from the young ladies. And at some point, even after we make this transition and we shift all these wonderful things up to the great Northwest, we're going to come across the subject matter again. So, Faye, I don't want you to be a stranger. I want you to literally, and if good fortune has it and I get to the West Coast, I would love to have you co-host a show with me, and we can talk about a variety of issues. We can even talk about the simple things of what you're going through, raising a talented 3-year-old in Stephon, and maybe give some, you know, some young parents some insight, as well as whatever's going on the West Coast, because there's always something going on the West Coast.
That is very true, very true. I mean, we really need to be, this show needs to go worldwide. It really needs to go nationwide on a bigger scale, because it's just so much violence, and if you can stop it at the beginning of the cycle, it just would make the world a better place. And I appreciate the show and what we're trying to do, and I definitely, definitely love the co-host.
I appreciate that. Well, Faith, thank you for calling, and call us again, all right?
All right, I will do.
Thank you there. That is the talented Faye Crawford, and I am incredibly thankful that she took some time out of her busy schedule and busy day to reach out to A Time to Heal. 619-639-4747. I'm running out of time, so let me do what I need to do, which is obviously run down the what you can do when it's time to step in and give some help. First of all, let's talk about the get help portion of it. What to do if you yourself are in that abusive relationship. Obviously, the first thing you do is simply dial 911. And I say simply because I probably should hit myself in the face for that one, because a lot of times it's not that simple. If the police have to come to your home, just follow the protocols, get the police report, and then talk to someone that you trust when you're ready. Disclose things to a close friend or family member, what's really going on in your relationship. You can ask this person to help you make together a safety plan or help you find the services you need. Maybe you need to talk to someone. Talk to a trained professional. Contact your local victim assistance program or, again, that close friend, someone you can confide in. They'll be able to provide some intervention services such as individual counseling, support groups, emergency, relocation assistance if you got to move, financial aid, advocacy for housing, accompaniment to the courts if you need a ride to go back and forth to court, a hospital, a ride to the hospital if things have really gotten out of sorts, a ride to the police station if there is another violation, information and all kinds of referrals. The National Domestic Violence Hotline number is 800-799-7233. 800-799-7233. Now, for those of you that are not in that situation, but you know of someone that is, don't be afraid to let them know you're concerned for their safety. Acknowledge that you realize that they're going through a difficult and scary situation. Be supportive, but be non-judgmental. Encourage them to participate in activities outside the relationship with friends and family. Again, additional eyes, additional ears to the situations. If the relationship ends, continue to be supportive of them, because even though the relationship was abusive, your friend or family member may still feel sad and lonely once it's over. And they're going to need time to mourn the loss of the relationship, especially if it was hard and there was tons of abuse in it. They're going to need your support, especially at that time. And help them develop a safety plan. And I have to pause here briefly for the safety plan side of it, because it's important to know and to understand that a lot of times the young lady has left a violent situation, but that violent situation is chasing her down. I say this with all the energy I have in my heart and my spirit. Develop a safety plan. If you're going to help them get out of a situation, if she comes to you and say, "I just need to run away," and she's packed that bag and she's asked you to come by at a certain time because he won't be around and get out of that situation, and he's taking it upon himself to say, I hate to say it, but I hear it all the time, if I can't have, no one can. Those are dangerous situations. The dangerous trigger words that let you know this could end badly. You heard Pauletta's story about the father who was so excited when she found her daughter had finally left him, only to find out that he chased her down and then he shot her. It hits home with me because I watched my two boys lose their sister that way. Chased her down and shot their sister. Gentlemen, this has to stop. This whole violent rampage against our sisters and controlling them has to stop. Such is the case why we've said for the last weeks, this is a man problem. Women have been banging the drum on this forever. But now, brothers, it is our time to do something about it. That brother that wants to chase that girl down because he wants to control her every move and have everything that she's involved in at his behest, that's the brother that has to stop it. So, brothers, you too can get some help. Get some counseling. Heck, if you want, call me. I have no problem giving you some resources, some referrals, and getting you the help you need. That girl in your life, your baby mama, your wife, she's not your property. She's not. But by the ordination of God, if you're forced enough to have a ring on your finger and you're married, you are responsible and accountable, completely accountable. The provision is on you. It has to be you, brothers, that has to stand into the gap, that has to make the tough decision and do what needs to be done to get it done and get it done the right way. So to all of you listening, I want to thank you once again. This 2 weeks has been amazing. From A Time to Heal, I know we've gone past the on-air into the stream now, and that's okay. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting A Time to Heal. I thank you for all my callers from Faye, Theotis, Pat, all of you all, and I thank all the chatters, the 1,100 of you, all the so-called Facebook friends that love to blow us up, not only here but on Twitter. You are fantastic. You are amazing. And I pray and I hope that you got something out of these last 2 weeks. I pray and hope that you took something away from this and that you can apply it to some aspect of your life and improve the quality of your life. I truly believe that there is a time and destiny for everything. You have a time to be born, a season that is your life, and then the time to pass on. But what that dash is in my perspective is unique, because that is where you can define the quality of your life. And if you have it within yourself to define the quality of your life in an abundant level, you put a smile on the hearts of many. So touch someone's life. Put a smile on their heart. Do something amazing. Don't let another go by that you haven't given praise to God for the opportunity to live and a smile on someone's heart. Do what you can. Love each other. Kind to each other. Do everything you can to put a smile on your child's face. Please, do that for me. Okay? And do it for yourself. You'll be surprised we can change this world. And that's our show for tonight. I'll see you Sunday on the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. And when we talk about sensitive topics again, we'll probably be coming to you from the great Northwest. Good night, everybody. I'm Vinny Moore.